They're the biggest dicks around.
Yeah, you read that wrong, Rob. Read it again. Try it again.
Oh, okay. They have the biggest dicks around. It's Corey and Joel.
Oh, there we go. That sounds good, doesn't it? Corey and Joel are back on the show.
Huzzah!
Welcome in, people. Show 217 is here. The New Doves. I like these guys. I've seen these guys many times.
Yeah.
Saw them in England. I've seen them in Detroit a bunch of times.
I've seen them once or twice.
Good guys. Yeah. Love the Doves. Kingdom of Rust is the new album. You can go get that. Wherever records and tapes are sold.
Available at Sam Goody and Chess King. No, they even have records at Chess King.
Probably. I don't know what they have. I don't know if they have records anywhere anymore.
No. You can't even buy a CD.
Not really.
You can get, like, Target and Best Buy.
Yes.
It's tragic. It's really
tragic. Really is. But, you know, hey, people move on. And, if people don't miss it, I'm not going to cry for some musician or something. I could, you know, they'll be fine.
I do.
They can adapt or they
I miss the record store.
Well, I don't.
Here's the thing, though. Going to other towns was always like, oh, they got a better record store there.
I guess.
What I mean? You're like, oh, Chicago, they got great record stores there. New York.
Well.
You know,
now with Amazon, it's kind of got more records than anybody else. And so, you know, I mean, you could argue a lot. You can go on eBay and
they
get
don't have
rare albums.
Surly hipsters that will disapprovingly look at you.
That might be why I'm glad there's no more record
they
stores.
They won't tell you how much you need this Gang of Four EP.
I'm glad to see people can go do honest work instead of
those morons. I'm not.
Well,
I used to work in record stores.
I know. And look what you do now. You have another sham job.
I do. But look, record stores are the greatest gig in the world. Speaking of from a comedian, by the way.
Oh, no.
Hold on.
No.
I have two sham jobs.
I have multiple sham jobs as well.
Thank you. I want you to keep that in mind.
Well, I work for ICP.
Next time,
is that a real
next
job?
Next time you denigrate my professions, remember that I'm working multiple sham jobs.
Okay.
I was also working for next to nothing for a wolfman and a skeleton
true.
Until I left.
Well,
if
that job had any fringe benefits, but it didn't.
If that job had the fringe benefit of a regular paycheck, I would have done
Or somehow you were getting laid from it or something.
Yeah.
None of that was happening. So.
None.
Yeah, it's too bad. Anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. It's Corey and Joel Radio, show 217. I hope you all enjoyed show 216. I know.
Good God.
Well, you know, listen, some people seem to enjoy those. Mm-hmm. No one's really written us and told us they enjoyed that show, but
nobody's written us and told us anything.
Well, here's the thing. I think if you listened to 216, it got better as it went along. I don't know. Somehow those girls, I go from hating them 1 minute to sort of being charmed by them and then to hating them again.
Mm-hmm.
So if you miss Jody and Jamie, maybe fast forward to the second half maybe of that. Because they were singing and stuff, and that was a little bit funnier.
They're such freaks.
It's
really fascinating to watch mentally unhinged women. Like, here's what I think of Jody and Jamie.
Really?
I think they're like every girl. But more so.
Really? They're like
I think they're like a broken version of every woman on earth. Like their neediness and their sort of inconsequentiality and their sort of frivolousness.
The world revolves around that and all that
stuff.
It's
what every girl secretly is inside but likes to cover it up. You know? My boo, my pet.
Yes.
She went and got an extremely expensive liberal arts school education.
Yeah.
And, you know, worked at the Women's Resource Center and you know, listened to some Ani DiFranco. But we'll sit and watch America's Next Top Model, right?
Okay.
Every girl has that shallow inside, complete idiot, and that is Jody and Jamie writ large.
Well, they're just that. It's just for them. It's on the outside.
They're
more
the
than
id.
On
the inside. They're the id of every woman.
I agree with that.
They're the
exposed
superstructure.
Well, I don't know why that. You know, if they've all. I think I tried to get to the bottom of it in the interview and say, have you guys always like? When did you guys decide you wanted to be famous? Because you know they flew out to L.A. and if. If we're lucky, quote unquote, notice my fingers making the little quotation signs. We may get them on the phone live from L.A. Here in a minute.
Oh, so, God.
If you want an update.
Get excited.
They said they were playing the Comedy Store, and I don't know what else they're doing. They've probably banged half the guys out there at this point. So maybe we'll find out.
Which one do you want? Jody, Jamie? Which one?
Well, we already said that, you know, Jamie... Jamie could go right to the porn valley and be
they
working.
They call her Camel Toe.
You know, Jamie could be working right away and, like, you know.
Absolutely.
Barely legal porn. Jody's, but yeah, Jody's more your type as far as.
I like a woman with meat on her
who
bones.
You would date
I do.
Physically,
I
yeah.
mean, well, whatever.
And listen, they're both attractive girls. I'm not turning down anything. First of all, I'm not doing anything, for one.
Yeah.
And if I was gonna, I would be fine with either one, I guess.
Okay.
You know, I don't
all
know.
All right.
To be honest, when you see somebody like Jamie, you go, like she's hot and stuff, but she probably isn't for me. You know what I mean? She's not really, like, a girl you'd see on my arm.
Look, they're lovely girls. We've hung out with them twice now. But I feel that I don't have enough information to properly judge them as human beings and individuals. So I will wait till we get them in the hot tub.
Oh,
that's
okay.
When I
well,
will,
that's fine.
That's when the final decision will be made.
Hey, I'm all
for their
that.
Value to the show.
I agree with that. So that's good. We can do that.
Look, we don't get any feedback anymore because I don't think anybody's listening.
Well, we got a negative thing on the forum from I think it was from Martin right. in Bay City.
Yeah.
Which, you know, you can't argue with that. I kind of went in there and wrote, like, yeah, whatever sure. you say. You know, I mean, it's to each his own, and it was different from a lot of our yeah. regular shows. And we've done shows like that where people love it, but something about Jody and Jamie is a whole other level of annoyingness in that way.
Right.
Like, I think if you were in the room with them, you might have been entertained,
mm.
like we were. But if you were listening to it on the radio, I don't know. Who's this?
Oh.
Well, hold on a second.
Oh, here it is.
Maybe we'll get... No, I don't know what to... Hold on a second, folks.
Is this live from Los Angeles?
See if I can bring this guy up. No, this is somebody else, but...
Oh.
I don't know what this guy's doing.
Breaking
hold on
news.
A second. Let's see if we can get to this. Hey. Hold on a second.
How's it going?
Russ.
Yes, sir.
Dude, you're on the show, man.
Hey, how are you?
We're doing all right. This is Russ Brown, everybody.
Yeah, a little jumped the gun a little early, but here he is, our Rock War correspondent.
Yeah, now Russ
Brown.
We were going to talk to her. Are you calling to say you can't do the show now, or what are you doing?
No, I was just calling. I was wondering. I was like, was I supposed to call in, or were you going to call me?
We're
going
to call you, but we'll get to Russ now. It's fine. We, you know, we were talking about we have some other phone guests, but they can wait. For
okay.
Russ.
All right. Iraq war correspondent. You have your own war correspondent.
You are. You are in Iraq, and you're doing your thing over there. Now, we had you on right before you left, and you're over there in what? You're doing civilian contracting or something like that?
I'm a civilian contractor. I am training the new Iraqi army on how to test and maintain their vehicles so that we can leave, and then they can take care of themselves.
Well,
and so they will now have vehicles that work when they need a car bomb.
Oh yeah,
they will now have edge. Can we sell them some GM cars, please? Can we please?
You want to hear something funny? Yeah. Every vehicle over there is either a Chevy or a Ford or a GMC. Every single one of them. I'm not kidding you.
Yeah.
Wow.
It is like because we blew up all their other stuff, and they're right. like, "Well, you guys need a truck. I got some that we need to sell." Yeah. I'm not kidding you. I drive a Ford F-350.
Well, that's a good market for us. We should really. Detroit automakers really need to start blowing up more countries and sending them our cars.
And as much as I'd like to say this is Russ live from Iraq, Russ is home now, visiting the family.
I'm
yeah,
in a third world depressed area. I'm in a little town called Clio.
Yeah, Clio, Michigan.
Yeah,
Clio, Michigan. But no, but yeah, there are acres and acres of Chrysler minivans, Ford pickup trucks, and Chevy pickup trucks. Just acres and acres of them. I think one of the lots has 6,000 vehicles.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
So now you've been over there for how long now?
6 months.
6 months. So you're halfway through your tour. Is that correct?
Yep. All yeah, right. But it's a year. I can quit anytime. It isn't like, you know, I'm not in the military. I can quit anytime.
But
But you're there to make the full money.
Right.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm just a migrant worker, basically. I mean, there's no jobs in Michigan, so I leave. I go to a different place. I make money, and I send it home.
Well, look at it this way. You could be getting $7,500 a night for Steve Sabo going to Indiana. So, you know.
Yeah, I know it.
You could be going to an equally dangerous part of the world, West Virginia.
Right. There's a lot. You know, they said, is the adjustment bad? And I'm like, I'm from, like, the Flint and Detroit area. I mean, there's a lot of similarities. There's really bad roads and really bad literacy and unemployment. And then the other place is Iraq. That place, wow.
Ba-dum-bum, ba-dum-bum.
Yeah, I just spent 5 days in the UP. Iraq sounds good right now, but
there's no snow. I will say that.
I was recently in Fenton, and I can attest to the complete horrible quality of mid-Michigan. Oh, my God.
But yeah, it's honestly, it is a lot like Michigan because the roads are really bad and everybody drives American cars.
But are you like in this? I thought you were hanging out on the base, though. Are you driving around the towns and stuff, too?
The base is like 7 miles wide by like 6 miles wide. So, or six, it's, I'd say it's around 7 by 7 or 7 by 6. It's a really big base as far as, you know, Iraqi bases go. It was a huge Republican Guard base, and half of it is the American base, and the other half is the Iraqi Army. And I actually live and work on the Iraqi Army side.
All right. Well,
wow.
Well, those guys must be fun.
You know, they're not bad guys. You go over there with all these, you know, kind of preconceived notions and stuff. And I train the Iraqi Army, so I have 30 students, and they're really nice guys. And they, you know, they all want to go back to the States and have sex with American women.
I'm sure they do.
So do we. Now, like,
yeah.
Are you opening an open mic class over there, or what are you?
Yeah, really.
You're going to teach these. Okay, no, Fadir, actually, I told you. Start with a dick joke and then go into the relationship stuff.
Well, I think Bill Bouchard would teach a class there. I think for $150, he would teach a class there, take his comedy class in Taji.
Think of how much money Bill could extort out of the Iraqis to waste their time teaching comedy.
Well, I gotta believe Russ has a show in him. We had a bet about, were you actually gonna forget about teaching a show? Have you actually performed a show for somebody somewhere?
Oh yeah, I perform at least once a week. There's I'm not kidding you.
We know you're not. That's what's funny about it.
The coffee house on the American side of the base called the Mud House. And I mean, you can look it up online. The Mud House is fairly famous, and it's a really cool thing because you can go there and unwind, and all the coffee's free, and you get like free Slurpees and ice creams. There's no booze. You can get near beer. but you can just kind of hang out, and they have little fire pits, and everybody sits around the fire and talks. And you know, if everybody wasn't carrying a weapon and at least 30 rounds of ammunition, it would be like a party, anywhere. And
I heard,
so you don't have to, it's really, really nice. If you got, you know, if anybody wants to donate anything, coffee or coffee syrups or, you know, food, snacks, beef jerky, whatever.
How about earplugs? Can I donate those? I'm kidding. I'm kidding, Russ.
I know.
Russ, I heard you're going to headline the cut-ups in Decrete. And,
no, I actually, every single Friday I perform, I do 10 to 15 minutes every single Friday. I have a lot of time to write.
Joel thinks this is the greatest thing
ever. I'm cracking
up,
man. You have no idea.
Yeah, Joel's laughing his ass off.
Put
your hands together for American.
I hosted the New Year's show. There's the U.S. base, and it's a huge base. There's about 30,000 people. And they had a live show on New Year's underneath this huge pavilion. There was 2,000 people there, and they just said, hey, you know, we're getting some acts together. They had like four bands and stuff. They said, do you want to perform? And I went, yeah, absolutely. Well, then they said, would you mind hosting? And I went, no, I guess not. So I got to be Dick Clark on a four-hour show where I did a half an hour of material. And then I found out later it was...
That's funny, because usually you get booked for a half-hour show and you do 4 hours.
Yeah, well, how dare you. But it got broadcast worldwide. It was on the Armed Forces Network worldwide.
Wow.
And then it was 30, and then it got picked up by CBS, ABC, NBC. Wow. We were of all the military New Year's on that side of the world, ours was the one that they carried. So we got carried in Germany and all over. It was really cool.
Russ Brown's Iraqin' Eve. New Year's Iraqin' Eve. Yeah.
I went up there, and there were these Macedonian guys that are kind of my buddies. They're these ex-Special Forces commando guys. And, you know, they've taught me some Macedonian, and, of course, the first thing you learn are the bad words. And so I went up, and I didn't think it was being carried live. I just thought they were kind of showing the bands and some of the acts. I didn't know the show was being filmed in its entirety. And so I said, hey, listen, guys. And I carried a live microphone around for 5 hours. And I said, listen, I'm going to go up on stage, and I'll give you a little shout-out. And they were like, oh, okay. So it was like 10 gigantic Macedonian commandos drinking near beer. And I said, hey, I said a quick shout-out to the Ugandans. The Ugandans are here. They do base security. And there were like 40 Ugandans in the front row. They're like, everybody went crazy. And
Ugandans are doing base security, really?
Yeah, because if an American shoots a guy, it's an international incident. If a Ugandan shoots a guy, they go, well, he's Ugandan.
Yeah, so, that's a good point.
Well, plausible deniability. But then the Macedonians, they go, hey, and I said, the Macedonians, we have a special message to everybody. And I said, Ketsamise. And I went, Happy New Year's, everybody. And the whole place was cheering. They were like, yay! And the Macedonians started cracking up. They, like, literally spit beer. It was awesome. Ketsamise means I want to fuck in Macedonian.
Oh,
that's great.
And I didn't know it was live. So I thought, well, there's only 2 million people who speak Macedonian anyways. What are the chances? Then I find out the show was carried live in its entirety to, like, Bosnia, Macedonia, parts of Turkey, all these places where they actually... So I got to swear to 150 million people on New Year's.
Your next act is playing clubs and colleges all over Macedonia. Russ Brown, everybody! Yeah.
But I get to, here's another thing, I get to play all these little barbecues too. They have little unit barbecues and little get-togethers, and so my company loves me doing that, because anytime we need a favor or we need parts or we need something, I can go to all these units that I work with and get stuff for free, because I'm the comic. And I'm like the only one on Taji. And so every Friday it's an open mic night where you can sing or do poetry or stand-up, but I'm the only guy who really does stand-up every single week.
Wow. Oh, wow. That's
so, Russ, you were telling me some stories before. I hear it's a barrel of laughs over there, if you could tell me about that, that story.
Well, the barrel story is really fun. I was in my office, and we had a day when we didn't have any students, so it's just me. The other two Americans were off that day, and then we had the, like, seven Iraqi instructors and interpreters that just kind of mill around the shop, and they make us go in even though the students aren't there. And all of a sudden, I hear all this clanging and la 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 and durka 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 and all this stuff. And I'm like, what in the hell? And I'm in my office and I'm like, don't get up. You're going to be mad. Don't get. I'm like, all right, fine. You're going to make me get up. I'm going to go out there. And I open the door and I'd heard all this clonking. And I walk by and we have this guy named Mohi. And Mohi has a 52 inch waist and he's about 5'6".
Wow.
But he's like a bear. Like he's a hairy, powerful guy. And
so am I.
He's dragging one of the hazardous waste barrels that we have. And it's a big plastic airtight barrel, and he's dragging it out. And I was like, what's he doing with the barrel? And as soon as he saw me, he let go of the barrel, and he kind of, like, froze, and like a kid who just got caught doing something. And Mohi can't speak English, but he kind of understands it, and he does a lot of hand gestures. And I said, Mohi.
What is he, Chewbacca?
Not kidding you. And I said, what's going on, Mohi? And he just kind of looked down. And one of the other guys who is kind of like the class clown who's always fucking with Mohi speaks better English. And I went, where's Riyadh? And he kind of looked down, and I went, wait a minute. And I looked at the barrel, and I looked at Mohi, and I said, Mohi, where's Riyadh? And he pointed to the barrel. And I went, I just couldn't believe it. I go, nah, and I kind of tapped on the side of the barrel, and there's a tap coming back. I went, oh, you got to be kidding me. And he's, like, sealed in a barrel. They screw that lid on tight. And so I went and got the interpreter, and I said, I had to physically say, Mohi, we don't put people in barrels. Do you understand? And he's kind of, like, giving me the aw shucks look. And I was like, and I'm sitting there, and I was explaining to him, this barrel is airtight. People have to breathe. And even if you're mad at Riyadh, you don't smother him to death. And I was like, you don't want him to die, right? And Mohi's kind of making this face like, I didn't want him to die. I was just really mad at him, so I stuffed him in this barrel. So I said, well, why don't we take the lid off? I unscrew the lid on this barrel, and this huge puff of smoke comes out. And I look in there, and Riyadh is sitting there Indian style, flipping me the bird, smoking a cigarette.
So what were they trying to do with the barrel?
Well, Riyadh had made Mohi mad, so he stuffed him in that barrel.
Yeah, and he would just enjoy a cigarette while inside a closed barrel?
Yeah, he started smoking inside the barrel.
Those people are fucked up on
that's
that
a good idea, too, when you're in a barrel to start smoking.
So he flips me off, and I just went, you know what? Put the fucking lid back on. And we screwed the lid back on, and we let Mohi drag that barrel over to the other shop like he wanted.
Wow.
He drags it over to the other shop, which is about an eighth of a mile. He's walking back, and we're sitting there laughing about it. And I look over, and I go, you know, someone should let Riyadh out of there before he dies. He's been in there about 10, 15 minutes. That's, you know, we don't want him to die. It was bad that he flipped me off, but we shouldn't, you know. So about the time we were going to go get him, some guy comes out of the other shop and sees this barrel and was like, what the fuck is a barrel? And so he's like, and he hears something, and he unscrews it, and Riyadh jumps out of it like a jack-in-the-box in a big puff of smoke. and just and the guy freaks like, ah! And he just takes the lid out of his hand and drags the barrel back to the shop. He thought it was hysterical.
Wow. You've got the Iraqi Abbott and Costello over there with you. There you go.
Oh, they're fucking crazy. Another time I'm at my desk. I'm just sitting there. I'm doing some paperwork, just kind of chilling out. And I hear all this kind of la, la, happy screaming stuff. I go out there. They had looped some lifting straps over one of the beams on the roof of the building, and they'd made a swing out of it. And they just put a 2x4 on the bottom of it, and they're just swinging back and forth and back and forth on it, like the canary swing, you know? And I'm watching it. Now, because we have 30-foot ceilings, the swing travels a great distance. They get a lot of speed, and they're about 15 feet off the ground at the end. So I'm watching this like, you've got to be kidding me. And it's just one of those things where, you know, it's like having children. When you open the door, you go, no matter what I think is going on, it won't be as bad as what's actually going on. And they surprise you every time.
All right. And, well, Russ, you're doing the Lord's work for us over there. In
Iraq, really.
Bringing democracy.
No, but hold on, wait.
And
this
dick
is great.
Jokes. Oh, no, wait. Wait. We got to go.
No, let him finish the story. Come on. Go ahead, Russ.
Riyadh sticks Mohi on there. He's like a giant wrecking ball. And then I'm watching this, and I'm like, this is ridiculous. One of them is going to break and fly through the wall. Riyadh takes a broom handle and smacks him right on the ass as he goes by. Just whack. He took a broom handle off a broom.
Like a big Rocky Pinata?
Yeah, it was like Baghdad Jackass. And he hit him twice before Mohi could stop because he's got little stumpy legs. He couldn't just get off the swing like a normal person. And then he chased him around. It was like, and it was just, they were chasing. And I'm just looking
the itchy
like,
and scratchy of Iraq.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
I'm getting paid for this.
All right. Save your powder for another story because we're going to have you back on. You're going to be our regular Iraq War correspondent.
And should I tell you about, you want to hear about the Love Dojo?
No, we'd save that for later. That's save that for your next
appearance. You sure? Okay, we'll save the Love Dojo story.
Because I want to keep, we'll hear from Russ in another month or so. We'll get some more Iraq updates.
Yeah, so you're...
Where can we find you? You're playing in Quetta, Jalalabad, and
I will be,
where else can we find you?
Performing at the Mud House every Friday, and unit and battalion level barbecues all over Taji.
Yeah.
Wow.
I hear they're opening up a Funny Bones in Kabul, so that's going to be exciting.
No, Jason Douglas has got a room there.
Oh, really? Well, I'll be playing there soon then.
$200, no hotel.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, Russ.
Thank you, Russ.
Yeah, no sweat, man.
So right. Enjoy your time. When do you go back?
Tomorrow.
So he's got one more day left in Detroit, and then he's off. So, man, be safe over there. Anything happen violence-wise? Any attacks on the base or...
The first week I was there, we had two rockets come in, and these two, they were just mad because there was some election that they thought we meddled in, and we probably did, but yeah. whenever there's an election or something happens, the out-of-towners get mad and shoot rockets at the base occasionally, you know, or a mortar.
Well,
I had
two
come in. One went directly over my shop by about 200 yards, and then one fell short about 80 yards, and the first one went off, and I heard boo, and I stood up, and I looked out my window in my office. And I'm on the ground floor, and then right as I looked out the window, the second one hit, and it blows up just barely 80 yards away.
Wow.
And I had two interpreters with me, and the two interpreters, like, hit the deck, and I didn't. I don't know why. I just kind of watched it. I don't know what the deal was. Yeah, and the Iraqi guy says, oh, my God, you didn't even flinch. And I just looked at him. I go, well, I'm from Detroit. I don't know.
So brave, Russ.
Russ, no, I hope the only bombs you drop are on stage.
No, this really happened. And then the guy looks at me, and he goes, ooh, I heard it's not very nice there.
Yeah, wow. reputation precedes yourself.
Yeah, he really said that. And
so
I,
did you get in a bunker or something, like, as this is going on?
There's only two rockets. It wasn't a big deal.
Yeah, but how do you know there's only two? There could
be
100.
Two rockets fired at you. Yeah,
yeah, but I don't know. You know, it's like I said, it's all relative. I don't know why I didn't flinch, but that guy has family in Detroit and says, ooh, I heard it's not very nice there. I'm like, you're getting rocketed right now. How fucking bad do you think Detroit is?
His relatives are working at the gas station on Warren Avenue in Dearborn right now.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
They're getting guns shoved in their face.
He's like, oh, 5 years of civil war and genocide and constant American bombardment, but you guys have Granholm. Yeah. I'm not going to yuck. It was
all right, Russ. So
ridiculous.
Well, it's good to talk to you, man. I'm glad you're still alive. There's certainly not amongst Corey or myself, but There are comics who are thinking you're going to be killed over there, and I'm not one of them. So.
What? What?
No, I've heard that from what? Guys.
Oh, for God's sake.
Like, is Russ Brown dead yet? And I go, I don't know. I haven't heard from him, but now we have, so it's good.
No, you can still email me, MySpace, and whatever. Right, I mean, man. I have internet and, you know, everything. It's sure. I have all the comforts of home. I can eat Pizza Hut every night if I want. I mean,
that's, Pizza Hut. I'm coming right over there.
All right. Well,
chicken. It's not like you think.
Everybody, reach out and give a shout out to Russ.
Yeah. Do you want to tell them where they can get a hold of you, our listeners? Anyway.
I'm on MySpace. Just Russ Brown comedy on MySpace.
All right.
You guys have to go. I've got pictures of some of the goofy stuff that goes on in Iraq. I put on a MySpace thing. It's horrifying. Right. You would laugh.
All right, Russ.
Well, it's good to talk to you, man. I'm glad you're okay, and good luck over there, man. Don't get yourself killed.
I'll start calling into you guys a little more often. I can call from over there.
Oh, can you really? Yeah. If you call my phone, that's how we're doing this on the show today. So, yeah, okay, we can set that up, Russ.
I'm 7 hours ahead. So
yeah. All right. Well, that's fine.
Yeah.
So right now it's like 3 a.m. over there, pretty much. So. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, man. Hey, Russ. Be safe. All right. It's good talking to you.
Absolutely, man. All right.
That's Russ Brown, everybody. Russ Brown, the great Russ Brown, our Iraqi war correspondent.
Wow. The wacky Iraqi correspondent.
You get the feeling like wherever Russ goes, there's going to be two wacky guys hitting each other with sticks. You know what I mean? Like it's just him. It's just kind of the
Russ attracts a lot of weird
exactly
stuff,
a lot of but, weird shit goes on around.
I,
him,
that's
so.
the itchy and scratchy of Iraq, apparently. Riyadh and Mohi.
I was going to tell him we'll send Jamie and Jody over there to entertain
oh,
the troops.
Oh, boy. That.
Should we just try them right now while we're in a phone thing?
Because
they're in L.A. right now, and I think they'll talk to us if I call them. So why don't we try that real quick, and then we can get on with our rest of
them. All right, fine.
Because maybe they've been signed up by a major eight talent agency. You never know.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear Hot Dog on a Stick is hiring. I hear that's
I don't
a major
know about that, but
agency.
I mean, it's possible that somebody's... Yeah. I mean, they said they were doing... let me just set this up before I get them on the phone. They were getting 3 minutes at the Comedy Store, and I guess they were going to sing that Sexual School song.
That song's 7 minutes. How are they gonna
I don't know, but they're going to try to get that. And they claim they could do it in 2 minutes. So let's see. I'm dialing now. We'll see if they'll answer. There's the phone. You can hear it ringing. We'll see if they're there. You're going to have to come talk over here, too, when they pick up. So.
Hello?
Jody.
Hi.
What's going on, Jody? It's Joel. And
not
Corey.
We're just stopping. Hi, Corey.
Yeah, Corey's here. Say hi to Corey.
Hi, Corey.
Hello there. Where are you girls at? What are you, tearing up Rodeo Drive? What are you doing? You at the Sherman Oaks Galleria? What are you doing?
Oh, I can't hear anything.
Okay. Can you hear me, at least?
I can hear you.
Okay, Corey's just got to get a little closer to the mic here. But you guys went to L.A., and you've been there now for about a week, at least Jamie has, and you did the Comedy Store. I was just telling everyone at home that you guys were doing that. How did the big comedy debut go?
The big comedy debut went actually surprisingly pretty good. We weren't sure if it was going to be good or not. But people laughed because we were shocked.
Well, it's a comedy show, and people want to be entertained, so why not? You know.
Yeah.
Did you? What
I know.
Did, what
we're
did
really
you?
Surprised.
You said you tell me you had 3 minutes. What did you do for the 3 minutes?
We actually did our famous song.
Wow.
You want to hear Jamie? She'll tell you a little bit about it.
Sure. Put Jamie on. We'll talk to Jamie. Successful.
Hi.
Jamie.
What's up?
So you guys sang your song at the Comedy Store, right?
Yeah, we got a huge round of applause, a lot of laughing. It really went wow. We were like shocked, actually.
Wow, Corey, your blood's about to boil.
What?
Corey? Yeah, no, it sounds great. Yeah. What is Jamie Masada's next taste like?
We did stand up comedy at an open mic night the next night.
Really? What did you do for stand up?
We made up jokes while we were looking for a place to do it, but it like went pretty good though.
But did
like,
you go up as a team or did you go up individually?
As a team.
Oh, okay. Wow. So they got a whole they got a whole career going now. Look at that.
I know.
Wow.
I know.
So
where'd you do people
wanted to take us on tour with them.
Who did?
Guys who owned one of the comedy places.
Yeah, of course. Guys want to take you. I'm telling you. Guys are going to want to take you, like, in the back of the van, too. You know, you got
to
be
careful. Yeah, he wanted to take us to his house. So
yeah, see?
So,
Jamie Masada's nuts. How do they taste?
What, they don't know who Jamie Masada is. Stop with the inside reference.
What?
They don't know. I'm telling you.
Mr. Friedman.
It was some comic, some middle act out there.
I bet it was Rob Little.
Probably, if Rob Little got a hold of him.
Oh, my God.
All right, so you got what else have you guys been doing out in L.A.?
Just, we're, like, going shopping right now. I'm leaving tonight, so just getting the last hurrah in, and that's it. We've been just making a lot of networking connections.
So do you feel like there's a future in L.A.? Like, maybe you guys will go back out there, or...
Yeah, for sure. Like, there's definitely a lot going on here, and a lot of people have been very interested in us.
I'm telling you, Corey.
Oh,
if
man.
You and I look like them, we'd be big stars right now. You know that?
I guess so.
See?
People are very interested.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you meet Mr. Peter North? Because I know he's a big talent agent out there.
They don't even know.
No. Are we on the air right now?
We're on the air right now, Jamie.
Are, yes.
Oh, hi. Hi to all our fans. All right. I want to say hello.
Oh, yes. Lots of
hi
fans.
Hi from L.A.
Yeah, live from L.A.
Where are you at right now? You're at the Mori, at the mall?
We are at the Kitchen Outlet.
The Kitchen Outlet?
Yeah, you don't even know where that is.
The Kitchen Outlet.
What Kitchen.
Oh, the Kitchen Outlet. Oh.
Oh, okay. I don't even know what that is.
It's an
outdoor. Oh, it's a big store in L.A.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, Jamie, I'm glad to hear everything's going good, and it's been successful. I hope that Corey and I had some part of that because of the preparation that you guys got to do in here in the rehearsal.
Well, you might have had a small part.
Yeah,
in,
I think so. I think so.
Making us more confident, but I think it was... Other than that, I would say it was all on us.
Oh, right. Well, aren't you conceited?
Well,
all
right. Come back home. We'll give you a rigorous drilling, and then it will be all on you.
Yeah. What are they?
No, honestly, though, our performance went really well, so we are happy.
All right. Well, that's awesome. Well, what can I say?
So when are you getting your sitcom commit? When's pilot season start up again? Pilot season, when does that start up so we can expect to see you over the summer shooting? Your new ABC pilot for your new hit show, what's going on?
Not ABC, but yeah, we do have the webisodes coming up soon.
Yeah, they are doing some webisodes. Those are from
really,
on
really
the MTV.
More, they're really more CW
talent. Oh, yeah, we forgot to tell you, we went and visited an acting school, and on Hollywood Boulevard, we did some interviews, actually, with the owners of the school right on Hollywood Boulevard about stuff about women and what they want out of their men and how to be romantic. It was pretty funny, actually. So we were right on Hollywood Boulevard.
Did they put you in the Little Mermaid costume to walk in front of man's Chinese theater? Or what on Hollywood?
What? What'd you
Never
say?
Mind.
All right.
You girls have a good time.
Yeah, Corey, you're acting wild. You're acting very wild.
It's nice and sunny out
Everybody
here, actually.
Everybody calm down.
All right, listen.
That's our slogan of the trip. Everybody calm down.
All right. Well, geez.
One last thing before we go.
Yes.
We met some people that liked us so much that we had various people say to us, how long are you guys going to be here for?
Oh, see.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the way it happens. That's how you roll. We got it.
Mm-hmm.
We figured as much.
How many drinks did they buy you before they said that?
All right, well, we can't hear you.
All right,
we got to stop before we drop.
All right,
so
girls.
We will talk to you guys soon.
All right, good.
Girls,
take it easy. Be safe.
How
was the plane ride? Oh, forget it. She was all good night. Remember Jamie was all nervous about the plane ride and stuff, and it was all a bunch of fakakta stuff. I don't know.
Oh, yeah,
but is that exactly what you thought happened? Like, guys are going to go I want to take you on the road
and blah, blah, blah.
Exactly. See?
Oh, my God. What if Sabo got a look at them?
We got to almost lock them away. I mean, that's...
Jesus. Yeah, I know.
I mean, whatever. I mean, it's...
It's a rare discovery, I find.
Well, we had Russ and them on the same show. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Thank God we couldn't patch them in with Russ or else we'd never talk on this show. You'd never hear anything from Corey or myself.
Oh,
so.
My God.
I know. Imagine
those two nitwits out there.
Right. I mean, they're doing their... I mean, that's the thing. When you're a chick who's... if you're halfway decent looking at all, you're going to get some attention.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, if Jamie had any acting talent, she might be all right, but...
Well, we don't know that. I mean, we don't know what she... Does she? I don't feel like she's got any experience really at acting. I mean,
no,
she
we
might,
saw her audition tape.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we saw some stuff on YouTube after the show. They went through some... Mm-hmm. They showed us some stuff. But no, I mean, if she... You don't know, I mean, if she actually worked at it, Who knows?
Yeah. Well,
Jodie could be the next Carol Burnett.
Yeah, they can be big stars. Meanwhile, you and I are going to be in Allen Park this week.
Yeah, we got to plug that. In fact, let me do that. I'll tell you, we'll plug that right after the break. Corey and I are doing live comedy this weekend in the Detroit area. If you can make it, please do. We'll give you all the details. Why don't we take a break now? We'll come back with more show. I got to tell you what I did for my Easter weekend. And we'll talk about what else. I don't even know. But we'll be back with more show right after this little break. Listen to more Doves. No more Jody or Jamie. They're done for today.
Good God.
More show right after that. Doves there. Like that. Like that song. Is that The Outsiders? Is that
yes, sir.
It's a good song. Mm-hmm. All right. So I was plugging this earlier.
Not like Jamie and Jody, The Insiders. Your Hollywood Insiders.
Well, I mean, come on. Let the girls have their fun, you know? I mean, what's the worst that could happen? You
know, I don't know.
They go out there, they marry some rich guy, and then and that's it. That's all. That's all. How do you think that story ends up? Come on.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. The BTK killer. That's how that story ends.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the case.
You know what those girls are? They're the girls getting off the bus in Welcome to the Jungle.
Yeah. All right, let's do a plug here because, you know, we did mention our live comedy this weekend.
How long have you been doing comedy, Joel?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, 9 years, a little over 9 years.
You ever played the Comedy Store?
Never.
God fucking damn. All right, anyway, okay.
No, but I mean, I've never been to LA. I could go get on that that's open true. Mic show.
You have
that
to
they
sit
did.
Out there all day and get on the
Yeah, show. I mean, they actually know somebody that works out there, too.
I've been there, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, whatever. You
all right.
Do it and you don't do it. Corey and I got comedy this weekend.
We're going to be appearing at the All-Star. This is a rare engagement of us together.
Who needs the Laugh Factory when you've got All-Star in Allen Park?
Well, hey, if you're in the Detroit area, come out to the All-Star Comedy Club in Allen Park. It's located at 2400 Allen Road in Allen Park. All these details, by the way, are up on CoreyandJoelRadio.com right now. It's this Friday and Saturday, the 17th and 18th of April, 9 o'clock each night. You can call 313-583-3137. For reservations. It's Corey and me co-headlining, and special guests are possible.
Yeah.
One guy who is actually a really, really funny comic who's been on our show. I don't want to give away his name because I don't want to tell you because he may not show up. He has said he might pop his head in there on Friday night and do a set with us.
All right.
So a guy named Kevin Fox is opening.
Kevin's good. Funny. Kevin been on the show?
I don't think Kevin's ever been on the show.
No, he's done roasts
funny.
And stuff that we've
But
been
we on. Might have some, you know, you never know who's going to show up. Or we'll invite some other friends and we'll do a big show for you, so it'll be fun in Allen Park this weekend. Come see us. Come
yes,
see Corey and Joel live. Why
I think
not?
You and I have worked together in about 2 years.
Well, I remember we did Joey's in Livonia, where you emceed and I featured, and I forget who the headliner. Oh, it was Kevin
McPeak
was the headliner.
Yeah.
But that's got to be 4 or 5 years ago now.
Is it that long ago?
I was wearing a tie on stage. I haven't done that in...
It was probably 3 years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, no, it was more than that. I think it was more than that.
Yeah.
Long time ago. But anyway, so yeah, Corey and I rarely do appear together on the comedy stage. So.
Right.
This is going to be a good chance for you to come see us. All right, come to that. Speaking of that, and I plug all these shows, and, you know, you always go like, well, nobody. Corey has this thing where, like, nobody hears these or nobody reads about anything or nobody's anything. I'm at the Bay Mills Casino. Now, this is, I was up in the UP. I mentioned that to Russ when we were talking to him. But went up to the Upper Peninsula. Corey and I have talked about doing this run. It's a lot of driving. It's a lot of bullshit if it's snowy.
I've done it the last 2 years. This year it looks like I got a stay of execution.
Yeah, you got aced out because there's only like 1 week left of the Bay Mills Casino.
Yeah, anyway. That's good.
So I went up to this Bay Mills Casino. It was like a 5-day run with everything. Went up there a day early. Drove around with the headliner who was Dan Smith from LA. He was a good guy. And, you know, so I'm up there and I'm doing this casino by Sault Ste. Marie. And, you know, the show was okay. The mic didn't work for me. It was a big pain in the ass. But I made the best of it. I made some jokes about a shitty wireless mic, which, by the way, if you're running a comedy club, get the guys a wired mic. You rarely need the wireless mic.
Yeah.
Unless you're a guy that specifically goes into the audience or something. Most people, because what happens is it'll work sometimes. Like, you'll do a mic check, and the wireless works. What happens is you fill it up with 200 people, and they all got cell phones and stuff, and that wireless stops working pretty quick. Yeah. And I don't know if that was the case this show, but the wireless didn't work.
Was the smelt running?
The smell wasn't running, but it was Easter weekend, and so people told us, well, everywhere we're like, well, the crowds are a little down. You should have been here last week.
Yeah.
It was sold out last week.
By the way, can we get that on a t-shirt?
That should be Corey and Joel Radio. You should have been here last week.
You hear that in comedy all the time.
You should have been here last
week.
Oh,
the crowd last week was unbelievable.
Yeah, tonight, not so much. So I'm doing the show, and I get off stage, and
Crowd last week, eh? That was a good here.
It went fairly well. So I get off stage, and a guy's sitting at this table by himself, and he grabs me, wants to shake my hand, waves me over, so I shake his hand. And, you know, the MC, the DJ MC guy's up there getting ready to introduce the headliner, so it's kind of loud. I don't really everything. He's like, oh, that was really good. I'm like, hey, thank you. He's like, my name's blah, 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 blah. And he said something like, he's a very Italian-looking guy. And I go, oh, okay, I'm Italian, too. And I said, what was your name again? And he said, my name's Marcello Fregamenti. And I go, really?
Wow.
And I go, well, come talk to me after the show, Marcello.
Call me a wackadoo.
No, don't say that. Come on, where's That's a Spicy Meatball? Hey. Come on, you got to have that in there.
I don't know if I have spicy
meatball. Yeah, you probably do. We've rebuilt Corey's database of sound effects. But anyway, so after the show, this guy comes up to me, and turns out this guy, Marcello Fregamenti, about 45 years old, from Sault Ste. Marie, Canada,
uh-huh.
Drove over because he saw me listed on the internet as appearing at the Bay Mills Casino. Apparently, if you Google Fregamenti, I'm kind of the most famous Fregamenti. There's a guy named Jacoby Fregamenti who's a boxer.
Yeah.
Who actually fought for the, I think it was the Cruiserweight Championship or the Light Heavyweight Championship. He got beat by David Hay in London. But this guy was like, you know, a ranked fighter.
Okay.
So I think it's me and him that you would find more about if you look up Fregamenti. So this guy looked me up, saw that I was going to be there, showed up to the casino, watched the show. I'm talking to him after, you know, good head of hair on this guy. Looked like one of the family, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he's from, I forget the town, but because I don't even know exactly what town the Fregamentis are from. Like, you know, my dad and my aunts and uncles and grandparents all moved over from Italy in the 50s. I think they came in 1954. So I was kind of like, well, what town are you from? And he said he was from a town in Calabria.
So I think he's kind of from my same town.
All right.
So it was very weird that to meet a guy. I've never met a guy named Fregamenti that related to me.
Someday we'll do the Corey and Joel live from Calabria.
It's possible.
The Italian return tour.
Return to the homeland.
Right. Well, I've got relatives from
pizza tour.
I got relatives from Hamburg.
Okay.
So we could do the European tour.
Well, I was just weird though, because you know when you meet somebody,
God knows where those people are.
But you could meet a Hall, and who knows who they're from? Yeah. You know.
I know my mom's side of the family better, the Germans.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I just didn't know. And so I called my aunts, because my aunts go to Italy, and they still have relatives that live there, and they know everybody. And they were really like, it became a big buzz in the family. Even I think even more so than meeting the guy from The Sopranos. I think this was even better.
Really?
Yeah. So I called them, and they're like, well,
what's an Italian doing in Sault Ste. Marie, Canada, by the way?
Well, what happened is they moved to Sudbury, Ontario. You know where Sudbury
is?
Yeah,
it's up there.
It's like as far north as Sault Ste. Marie, but then east.
Yeah.
It's like north of Toronto, kind of, but that far north.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so I guess there are a bunch of them in Sudbury, a bunch of Fregamentis.
Wow.
And he said that there's a Fregamenti family reunion in 2013 in Sudbury.
Wow.
Because I guess they had just had one last year or something.
In 2013.
Well, I guess they must do it every 5 years or something, and they did it last year, so. But yeah, he invited me to go to Sudbury.
Wow.
And I don't know if I should or not. Should I go? I'm kind of like
if there's
famous.
A gig.
I'm famous in amongst the Fregamentis.
Wow. That's impressive.
So Marcello said he listens to the show sometimes.
Well, that's good.
So good shout out to Marcello.
Hi, Marcello. Hey.
Go ahead. No, I'm here. For the next 3 minutes, I give to Corey Hall to disparage.
Thank you very much.
Marcello and the rest of the Fregamentis.
I'm just wondering how an ITI gets up to Canada.
Okay.
You know, that's a weird place to, you know what I mean, for Italians to be.
Okay, just let me answer your questions. He wasn't holding a submarine sandwich. I just want to answer your questions.
That's all I'm asking.
I just want to.
Look, now let me ask. He came to the show. Did they let his monkey come in, too, with the organ
grinder? Would you stop it? He was not selling Italian ice walking up and down the aisle, Corey. He was not doing that.
did he give you a pinky ring to celebrate the moment? Hey, Joel. That's a good job. Did a good job there, eh?
He had a little bit of an Italian. He had an Italian accent and a Canadian accent, too, at the same time. So it was a little.
It's weird.
It's a little weird.
You know, Sault Ste. Marie, Canada is a big city.
It's a bigger town than
relatively.
Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan,
It's like 75,000 people, which up there is a metropolis.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. Whereas the
all of the
U.S. side's what 12,000-13,000.
Well, what it is in Canada is all the border towns in Canada are big towns because they get all kinds of stuff from America and they'll come over and buy American goods.
Think
and
of
stuff
it this way: that's like a southern resort town.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, that's what I mean. That if you're in Sault Ste. Marie, Canada, you're doing well.
Wow, the Sault Ste. Marie, Canada is like a southern resort town for them. That's like a beach town.
So, like Marcello moved from Sudbury, I guess, to Sault Ste. Marie at some point and really upgraded. So, good talking to Marcello. And Marcello, send me an email, dude. Because my family wants to know where you're from and stuff. So,
I
can get a hold of Marcello,
that just
goes.
There's fans of the show everywhere.
Right. There's fans of the show, and there's fans of if you're a Fregamenti, come say hi to me, which is very rare. But that's what I said. It was very because I asked my dad even. I said, "Hey, Dad, you know, I called him on the phone, told him stories. Did you ever meet a Fregamenti that like you don't know?" And he goes, "No."
Mm-hmm.
And I go, "Yeah, it's very weird." So I guess having some kind of notoriety, as small and stupid and insignificant as it is, made for a cool experience. There you go.
Well, that's good. No,
Marcello.
That's cool. That's good. That's good times.
So that was my weekend, and then I did.
I guess Sault Ste. Marie, because I guess the American side's about 16,000, and the other side's 75.
It's bigger,
so it's a fairly big town
altogether. Yeah, and that's who comes to this casino show.
The rest of the UP is a desolate forest.
Well, Marquette's got a lot of people. Marquette's a big town. They got a college.
It's about the size of Ferndale.
Well, but I mean, it's got it's got stuff in Marquette. Yeah. So
Well, you know what's funny though? In a town like that, it seems bigger.
Yeah.
Like, it's got probably about the same amount of people as Ferndale.
Oh, I don't know. Ferndale's.
But it seems bigger.
30,000 or something?
Yeah,
Ferndale's not that big.
That's about Marquette.
Well, look up Marquette then.
I will.
Wikipedia.
I'm going to look it up, but anyway.
So, yeah. And then I went and did another casino, which was, it was Easter Sunday. It wasn't a very good crowd, but I'll tell you, this place, the Island Resort, had notoriously the worst gig in comedy. And I have to tell you, this time was far and away the best time.
Yeah.
That there ever was there. So I have to say, just the way they set it up, and I don't know, part of me being a little more confident and kind of just kind of having a fuck it attitude, you know, was just kind of like, yeah, I don't really care if this goes good or not, was a good thing. Yeah. It made the show better. And Dan Smith did well, too. So Dan Smith, I got to give him a shout-out, too. So yeah. He did good. How many people are Marquette?
It says like 20,000 and about 8,000 students on top of it.
Oh, okay. So it is roughly Ferndale.
Yeah.
But it seems like it's got bigger buildings and stuff.
It doesn't.
Yeah.
I know. Well, it's sometimes smaller towns, yeah, when they're like by themselves,
yeah,
it seems bigger.
Well, Ferndale doesn't have any big buildings, but it's like spread out.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Well, you can't, but see, that's the thing. There's 80,000 people in Troy, but yeah, you couldn't tell that.
You couldn't tell that.
I mean, there's big buildings in Troy, but
that's where people work, not where people live.
Yeah, it's weird, you know? Yeah. You would never know.
All right. So that was my weekend, a big weekend of comedy, a lot of driving.
Up there, Marquette seems huge.
Yeah.
Compared to these little dinky fly specks of a town.
Some of these little towns in Ohio, you do.
You said you couldn't find, like, anywhere to eat between Marquette.
Well, I didn't realize they had built a brand new sports bar at this casino.
Yeah.
Which was actually pretty nice at this Bay Mills Casino, but I didn't know that was even open. And the regular hotel restaurant shut down at 9.
Oh, they got a new
sports bar, like, behind, like, sort of the side. It's hard to describe. It doesn't matter.
Well, there was a bar in there in the back that I went to before.
Yeah, but they serve food, like, all night, I guess, or until three in the morning. But I didn't realize that, and the regular hotel restaurant closed at 9,
right.
And I had to pick up Dan Smith from the airport and drive him back. So the only place I could find is there was a Hardee's in Munising, or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Munising.
Yeah.
So that's where we went, and you know. And I think it was funny, too, because I think Dan Smith's kind of like a health guy.
Right.
And I didn't know. I don't know this guy, right? And I just get him and I go, look, there's one place to eat between here and there, and it's a Hardee's.
Yeah.
So we went in there and had a Hardee's salad. It was a piece of shit. I felt bad, but, you know, nothing I could do. It's one place to eat.
Here's a tip for you. Don't be a vegetarian in comedy.
It's not that he was a vegetarian. It was just that
didn't want to eat Hardee's.
He didn't really want to eat Hardee's.
I don't blame
I understand
it.
That, but
it's really,
you got to eat what you got to eat.
It's so hard on the road in comedy to eat well.
Oh, yeah.
It's so hard because you end up in towns where there isn't a lot of options.
Yeah. I mean, would you rather eat at like a Hardee's, which you kind of know what you're going to get, or some fly-by-night diner, you know, like some mom and pop thing?
No, no, I've been with guys.
The Greasy Spoon, you know?
I have been with comics on the road who are trying desperately to try and find a place to like eat. And they got to find something on the menu.
Some guys are real particular. Yeah.
Well, at the menu at Bob Evans, they got to find something to eat, you know, and it's like, wow.
Like, everything's covered in gravy. What are you going to eat healthy?
Yeah,
I know. I also got I got a fucking traffic ticket up there, too. I got a speeding ticket.
What a bunch
ticket.
Of pricks.
God damn. First speeding ticket I've had, I think, in like 6 years.
Wow.
And I do comedy. I drive all the time, and I never get tickets.
Yeah.
I was going 60 and a 55. That's what I got a ticket for. And I really was going like 62, so I wasn't really going fast.
Mm-hmm.
But it was right when I got off I-75 up there in the UP.
Yeah.
So I went onto a road that was like 70, into a road that was like 55. And I was going like 62. And it was, I guess cops now, they'll clock you from the other direction. Do you know what I mean? Like, a cop doesn't have to be sitting there
facing
anymore.
The way.
No, they can be driving towards you in the opposite direction and still get your speed and still write you a ticket.
What a bunch of dicks.
Yeah, and the guy wrote
me
a ticket.
We saw a lot of cops on the road on 94 this weekend.
Yeah, you traveled a little bit too, right?
I just went to Kalamazoo. But,
it's a bunch of shit, man. So I don't know what to do. People are telling me to fight the ticket, but it's like, I think I'm going to have to go up and go to court in the UP. I don't want to do that.
Well, but then that's why they give you a ticket.
Yeah. Because
they know you're not
they
coming.
They know I'm not going to fight.
Right.
Them. Bastards.
Right.
So I got to take out meager comedy earnings.
When I lived in Huntington Woods, I get pulled over and I got one ticket. I got pulled over maybe four times.
I've been pulled over in Ferndale a couple times and gotten out of it.
Yeah.
I have a good driving record and I live in town.
Yeah. I think I've told this on the air how it was the one time I could have got a DUI. I was pulling. I was literally.
Nothing to be proud of.
No, I know. I was literally pulling onto my street.
Yeah.
That was when I was going to Danny's and closing it down every
night. Yeah.
And I was literally pulling onto my street and the cop pulled me over and was like, all right, just. Don't kill anybody in the next two blocks. But that's Ferndale.
Right.
If you got a Ferndale license, they'll tend to let you off.
Yeah, it was. It's
if
very,
you're up north in the fucking. It was a state trooper, wasn't it?
A state trooper, absolutely.
Fuck the stateies.
It's funny, too, because there was a guy at the show who just happened to be a state trooper that night.
Yeah.
And I was talking to him after. He knew the DJ or whatever the MC guy was. And I said, hey, I got a ticket from a state trooper. And he's like, really? And he goes, what did the guy look like? And I described the guy. And he goes, oh, that guy's the biggest asshole. He goes, that's not the guy you want to get pulled over by.
No.
Go, yeah.
Oh, he's not the good state trooper that works the Northern Michigan?
Apparently, this guy I was hanging out with was the good state trooper. Wow. Well, he was drunk off his ass at the comedy show. So.
You know, as much as I hate state cops, I did actually assist a little bit with a police investigation.
Really?
Well, not much of one.
What happened?
Well, my dad and I, we went to this market in Berkeley to pick up something. My mom was like, we were over at my mom's house working on stuff, and she was like, can you go get me some stuff to make dinner? So we went over there.
Yeah.
And my dad and I rolled in there. And as we're pulling in, somebody's pulling out in front of us.
You know,
as we're like trying to pull into park. Guy comes flying back in and smashes into another car.
Oh.
And then sits there for a minute. And, we're, you know, he's blocking us off.
Yeah.
He sits there for a minute and we're like,
yeah.
You gonna do something? And then, like, I thought maybe they were hurt or something for a second because they came back. They backed out of that spot pretty fast.
Okay.
Like at least 15 miles an hour. And then they sat there for a minute and then pulled off. But I managed to write down the license plate.
Oh, look
and then
you.
I went in the market. Well, you know, it didn't do major damage.
That's...
But it chipped. It left a big, about 3-inch paint chip. You know what I mean? It took a chunk out of the guy's
That's
car.
Mighty white of you, Corey.
Thank you.
That's right.
Well, I wrote down the license plate. Yeah. I went in and I found the guy. Well, it's funny. I went and found the manager. You know, I'm like,
yeah.
I found the dinky kid in the tie that's working at the market. It's literally the kid had that voice,
Simpsons,
too.
Yeah.
I was like, are you the manager? He's like, yes, I am, sir. And so I'm like, oh, well, I saw this, you know, somebody pulled it back into another car and drove off.
Oh.
And I gave him the license plate number. And I'm like, this guy turns around. He's like shopping. He goes, what kind of car did they have?
Oh.
I was like, it's a Lincoln. He's like. Ah, shit. It just happened to be the guy was standing right there. And I gave the police a report. And
somebody hit my car out in front of my
house. That's garbage, though. Like, you know,
it is. It's bullshit.
Sometimes people will bump into a car and there's no damage.
Yeah.
This left a nice big paint chip gash in the
side
of the car.
Somebody ran into my door. I usually park in my driveway, but I parked it on the street one night. Yeah. I guess to let my roommate park up there or whatever. And some guy hit me and didn't fucking say anything.
No.
And it's not, like, terrible damage. And I guess if you looked out of your car, you might not have seen that you actually did leave a dent in a
This guy didn't
break.
Even get out and
yeah,
look.
But that guy, but he knew he damaged it.
Oh, absolutely. He knew he
hit
the
guy
car.
Who hit mine might have not known that he did or whatever. But.
Right. Well, what's amazing is they knew that we were sitting there, too. Yeah. Whatever. People are dicks.
Bunch of dicks out there.
Speaking of dicks.
Who's a dick?
This guy at the movie theater, I swear to God.
Oh, really? You got in a fight over there?
Well... You know, when I go to these movie screenings, generally they'll save a seat for me. And
right.
Sometimes they'll put me, more often than not, they'll like put my name on it.
Sure.
For the press that are there.
Yeah.
And so I went over to watch State of Play with Russell Crowe, which was actually not bad.
Okay.
Not bad. But so I come in and then the whole press row is filled up except for like, you know, I don't see my name.
No.
And this other guy, one other guy. And we're like, what's going on? And we asked the rep, and they're like, oh, well, yeah, we have seats for you. And then we looked, and there was like four people sitting on the end of the press row who are clearly not press.
Yeah.
And then like there's the tape from the back of the sign is still on the seat.
Yeah.
And we asked them to move, and like, hey, whatever. And I'm like, hey, when there's a name on it, if it's not your name, don't sit.
Right.
In the
it
seat.
Says reserved for.
It says my plot, name yeah. on it. It says reserved for Corey Hall. And I go over, and the guy's like. Why don't you mind your own business? It was like some Russian or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And he was like, mind your own business. I'm like, this is my business. This is my job, believe
it or
not.
Did he say fuck BP ever?
And then he goes, he pulls up and he flips me off.
Oh!
And I'm sitting there going,
wow.
And this is what bothers me. I can't do anything because I'm working. I'm on the clock.
Yeah.
When I go to a movie, believe it or not, I'm on the clock.
You're going to look like a jerk in front of this movie company.
I can't do it. I'm a professional. I can't. But I'm like... No grown man just stands there and flicks you off. You know,
right.
I think there should be a law. If a dude over 14 flicks you off in public.
You can fight him.
Punch the motherfucker. I really wanted to dent this dude.
Really? Well,
I wanted to knock this dude's dome.
It's a damn movie scene. It's not worth fighting
It's
over.
Not worth fighting over.
It shouldn't be worth him fighting over either, but
that's what
he's a maniac, and you can't do anything about
that. No, look, I was a little annoyed that they had clearly taken my seat.
Sure.
But I had another seat. It wasn't the end of the world. Yeah. I still got paid, but it was the fact that the guy had to be a prick about it.
Yeah, well.
He couldn't even go, oh, I'm sorry.
You know what it is? People see free movies, and...
Then they get to be a jerk.
They feel entitled. Yeah, they're very much like,
yeah.
You know, like I guess his attitude.
Maybe
probably,
they go see free movies for 8 years and get their own seat.
But
and
his
get entitled.
His attitude to you is like, it's a free movie.
Yeah.
Stop complaining and just sit somewhere else.
Right.
And, you know, he probably needed like four seats together or something, right. And there weren't any.
I know, except that.
But I mean, that's his logic. I understand that.
That had my name on
it. But he's also probably like, well, you're not there and it's getting late. And let's face it, you're not there. And you're not doing, you did nothing wrong in this. No. But the movie probably started at 7 o'clock and you're there at 6:58. I mean, let's be honest.
Well.
And again, there's nothing wrong with that. But no, in his mind.
Well, because we'd had a movie before.
Okay, I know. But in his mind.
I was just standing in the lobby.
In his mind, he's probably thinking, this guy, if he was going to show up, he would have been here already. Right. So what difference does it make if I take it?
Here's my argument. Would I ever, if I see something that's reserved for somebody and specifically has the name of somebody on it?
No,
You know what I mean? There's some people who go, when something's roped off, that's an invitation for them to get in there. There's people who get upset about the whole premise of having roped, you know.
No, I know how the movie screenings work because I go with you enough to where I get that.
Right.
But I've also seen it where, like, say you go to a comedy club and it's a different thing. And say a table's reserved and the show's about to start.
And they fill the seats.
And they can fill the seat that way. But yeah. I know what you're saying.
It's something, but you know, it's different to me when my name's on it.
That's
where I would never go. When I see somebody's name reserved for so-and-so, I wouldn't go sit there.
Yeah, he's
guy. And then to go and flick me off, that's what bothers me.
Well, first of all,
you can't just punch like Russians in the face.
You can't.
But that's about it. The other thing is, I thought he was like some kind of foreign guy who really doesn't have this kind of civility.
He probably couldn't have. Yeah,
it's not. It's an American sort of politeness.
Yeah.
To not sit in a seat that somebody else's name is on.
Well, we've also done it where, and you and I are both guilty of this, I guess, where. Like, if we go to a screening and say you have a reserve seat and I don't because I'm not.
I'll move the sign.
We take the sign from somebody else and put it on an empty seat.
That's fine. That's press on press.
Okay, that's fine.
I'm a member of the press.
I was going to say, we've moved Debbie Schlussel's seat 100 times.
Right.
Like, and, we don't want to sit next to Debbie.
Let's face it, I'm, you know, next, after Tom Long, I'm a bigger priority than these other
people. No, I understand that.
Yeah, anyway.
I understand.
I know, I'm going to get.
We've done that, too.
We've done that.
Just to be honest.
No, but that's other press.
But at least we still save that person a seat when we do move it.
I never, like, lose somebody's
seat. Right,
you never
say.
Because they're working. Speaking of dicks who threaten violence.
First of all, we need to take a break here, because not a break, but. There's some gummy bears up there behind you. You think I could get those? Yeah, there you go. Send those over.
You're going to get some gummy bears. It's going to cost you a couple.
Oh, you mother! Well, I got to go get some water. So you got now. You got a vamp while I fill my drink.
All right. I'm going to set up this story. You know what story I'm talking about. I'll read a little bit from this story. Speaking of dicks in the show business world, Terry Bollea, also known as Hulk Hogan to some people, gave an interview to Rolling Stone. And Hulk Hogan is in the middle of a very acrimonious divorce with his wife, Linda, who you remember from that stupid reality show. Now, apparently, Linda has shacked up with a 19-year-old friend of their daughter's, Brooke, the talentless she-beast that they've been trying to turn into a superstar. And the Hulkster is not happy about it. And he gave a little quote to Rolling Stone and said, "I could have turned everything into a crime scene, brother." No. Like OJ, cutting everybody's throat, he told the magazine. "You live a half mile from the 20,000-square-foot home you can't go to anymore. You're driving through downtown Clearwater. You see a 19-year-old boy driving your Escalade, and you know that a 19-year-old boy is sleeping in your bed with your wife. I totally understand, OJ. I get it."
Well.
Wow.
Well, here's my feeling on that.
Mm-hmm.
Look, he's taken a lot of shit for that, and I don't know really what they can do. I guess he's still in like a, you know, in the divorce proceedings,
mm-hmm.
and God, does that look bad to like, you know, a judge probably to make a statement like that. Otherwise, I don't know how you really hold that. I mean, look, he's a big dumb wrestler.
Now, my question is, was this Hollywood Hogan who said this? Because that's understandable.
Clearly the heel Hogan.
Yeah, he made a heel turn.
The NWO Hogan, yeah.
Hulk made a heel turn right in the middle of that.
Well, he did do that once. He did, because the OJ, he did reference OJ once in a promo on WCW.
Really?
Where he said, "I've got my hat and my gloves," and you know what a guy can do when he gets his hat and his gloves. And like, he really did. He did the OJ thing. He had his hat and gloves, and he goes, "You know what happens when you get your hat?" So, you know, maybe he was thinking back to that promo, but.
I think this kid ought to watch his back, because you know, you remember what happened to Paul Orndorff when he turned on the Hulkster. You know what I'm saying? They were best friends, and then Orndorff sold him out to Bobby Heenan. And
listen, I just think that Look, if Hulk Hogan kills his wife, is anyone going to be surprised? They're doing some just wacky shit anyway.
My question
is, I mean, look, I don't say that, like, I want it to happen, but...
Will he bring a foreign object? Will he hide it in his boot? Is that what's going to happen?
Why doesn't Hogan just turn this into an angle with the kid?
Yeah. Right.
Why not just book themselves in some arena?
Work
and
a
do
shoot.
A match.
Turn it into a shoot.
A cage match.
Yeah, beat his ass.
Because Hulk would probably teach this kid how to wrestle, right?
Sure.
You know? If there's money in it, Hogan will do it.
What I'm thinking is he brings over Brutus Beefcake, and Brutus has the shears. And that's how they snip the kid's neck. They use the old...
complete mockery of this whole thing.
I am! What do you think I was going to do this story
for? I don't know!
This story is only a way to get WWF references in there.
Well, it's... I hope Paul Hogan doesn't kill anybody, but you know...
No. That's for The Undertaker. The Undertaker... The only one who puts people in coffins is The Undertaker.
First of all, if you're going to kill your wife, Chris Benoit has done that already. So anyone that does that is ripping
That's
him
right.
off. So.
Yeah, he did it already, Hulkster.
I mean, let's face it, Chris Benoit, yeah. And you know what? He did it with much more technical proficiency than Hogan could do.
Right, right.
The absolutely. Moves were much right, right. more crisper. You know what I mean?
The crossface crippler yeah, right. is a lot harder than that big leg drop.
You know, I mean, God, I'm going to get morbid here. But do you know that he actually, you know, the autopsy showed that he... Chris Benoit did use his crossface crippler to kill his
kid. He used the crossface
crippler?
To
kill his kid.
Wow.
Not even the wife he strangled with, like, a coaxial cable.
Wow.
Like, well, from the cable TV.
She was a thick-necked bitch. I can see why you'd need some extra.
Come on, man. But no, he did, so, I mean, you know. But yeah, you can make the joke that Chris Benoit, you know. Chris Benoit's murder was 4.5 stars. Where Hogan would only get 2 stars for his, if you're going to do it.
You know what's funny? I downloaded the Legends of WrestleMania demo.
Oh, that's right. There's a demo
for
on 360. 360.
We should
that?
Actually play that.
How is that? I don't have it downloaded. So
yeah. You know, no, it's good because we can play. You can play as Hogan and Andre.
Okay.
Or you can play as Stone Cold versus The Rock. Now, I don't know if you can play as The Rock because it's like. Relive the scenarios.
Oh, okay.
So you got to like do certain things in the match. Like
you could play as The Rock if you buy the game. But you say in the demo.
In the demo, and I'm not sure if you can actually play as The Rock. You can play as Stone Cold, and there's things like drive him through the Spanish announcing table.
Okay.
There's like you know it's kind of fun. You can hit him with a chair, but what's great is you can actually do, you know, the meter. The way the meter works, once you get him down to a certain level, you can pull off the finishing move.
Okay.
And you can pull, and Andre does the headbutt.
All right.
And Hogan does the big leg drop.
Okay.
Yeah, so you can do that. The people's elbow.
I'll tell you why I don't have that, too. Part of it is that my hard drive is almost completely full on my jump. 360. Because I have the 20-gig hard drive, because I have an older model of it. And, you know, when you can do the game installs now, where you can actually put the contents of the game and it makes the load times faster, you put it around the hard drive. I did that for Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts. Because it made the load time so much better, and I still haven't finished that game, so I've got like 7 gigs locked up by that.
Yeah,
and then I've got like my Rock Band exported to work in Rock Band 2, and that's a couple gigs. And I've got Burnout Paradise now, which is a lot of fun. But you have like they have all kinds of expansions for that, and that's almost a gig. So it's just my 360 hard drive is full of just. I really have very little space for demos anymore.
How much bigger is how much more is to get the bigger?
The 60 gig I think is like $100.
Yeah,
and the 120 I think is like another $85-90 over that.
I've got the 60, I think.
Yeah, because you bought one recently, but no. But for mine, it's like I'm almost hoping the thing gets the red ring. So if I take it back, because I have an in-store warranty where I bought
Yours already busted once though.
No, it did break once, but since I have the in-store, like I can exchange it on the spot. And what it is I'll get the value of the system when I originally bought it.
Yeah.
And since I bought it, I think, for $400, and now it's only $300, you know what I'm saying? I actually get...
$100.
I would get, like, yeah, I could probably get the Elite, or I could get, you know, some kind of store credit, or you know what I mean?
Yeah, or at least get the new...
The 60-gig version of the 360, yeah. You know, if it did break. So I'm kind of hoping, in a sense, that it
the
does.
The Jasper...
Yeah, I don't know if it's the... I don't know what it is, but yeah, they're all better than they used to be, whatever.
That's what 360 dorks start talking about, like, the battery capacity and stuff.
Well, we're not going to be that dorky, but...
No.
It's about power consumption, and the newer ones use less power.
Less amplitude.
No, that's not... It's nothing to
no,
do
I know.
That.
It's wattage. It's joule. How many megajoules?
Here's Corey's Tech Talk with Corey Hall.
No, it runs cooler. It runs at a lower...
It runs cooler because it uses less energy and therefore creates less heat. And the motherboards now dissipate the heat better than they used to.
Yeah.
the GPU solder.
But I'm never playing for like 6 hours.
No, you can play for 6 hours now if you wanted to, but
I know, but I never am. Yeah. So.
So anyway,
all right, Hogan, don't go. Pull
don't kill people. You
don't pull a juice.
Yeah, you stupid ass.
Put the kid in the sleeper. Scare him a little bit. But you know, when the arm drops the second time, let him out of it.
The kid would probably kick the shit out of Hogan right now. A 19-year-old kid that's in any kind of shape. He's a giant guy and everything.
Hogan's not as debilitated as some wrestlers.
No, he's bad.
Is he?
He just had back surgery, yeah. And I think he's got two bad knees, which pretty much every wrestler does. And I don't know, man. Some of these guys are not the toughest looking.
Hogan's going to have to call in.
I mean, I've seen wrestlers.
Call in Hillbilly Jim for some backup.
Well, here's the guys. I mean, this is obscure, but.
Well, he's not like superstar Billy Graham who fell completely apart.
Well, he's getting there.
Speaking of which.
Deathpool? Nobody's dead?
Nobody's dead. Do I have Billy Graham this year?
I don't know who you have.
Was that last year I had?
You have the Reverend Billy Graham, maybe.
Did I have superstar Billy Graham last year?
I think last year you had both Billy Grahams.
I did.
No, but, you know, I've worked with a lot of these wrestlers, and some of these guys, they're old and beaten and look like complete
Well, you saw
shit.
Roddy Piper. How
Roddy
bad was
Piper
he?
Could still probably beat my ass, even though he's got cancer and everything.
Wow.
Piper's still kind of an intimidating guy. Mm-hmm.
Bobby Heenan, what are you waiting for? Let's go.
Bobby
Let's
Heenan apparently is, like, out of the hospital, and I had him for a long
Farrah time. Farrah Fawcett's out of the goddamn hospital.
Well, here's guys, like, I don't know if anyone knows who the Headhunters are. You can look them up if you don't know who they are.
Sure.
They're big, giant, fat guys. And they bill them as being, you know, 400 pounds each. And you know, I worked with these guys at a show, and these guys are about 5'7".
Wow.
And I was like, God, I was like, Corey and I, you and I could, like, beat their ass for real.
What you're telling me is that there's some...
They look like huge guys. They're wide as a house. But, I mean, they're slow. They're not intimidating at all in person. And I was like, well, fuck these
You know
guys.
Who doesn't probably look that big in person? Kevin Sullivan.
Kevin Sullivan was a short guy. I hung out with him.
Yeah, he's like
he's in great shape, though. He's ripped muscle, though. Yeah. He's muscular as fuck, though. He's in good shape. He's probably got a... He was a perfectly nice guy, but I think if you cross Kevin Sullivan, he's got a mean streak. Him I wouldn't fuck with.
You're telling me that he'll put you in the trio. Whoa.
He chased me around the ring when I was ringing out, because that's pretty funny. Because he didn't tell me he was going to do it. We were hanging around backstage, and super nice guy, and I got his intro, and I said, what do you want me to say? And he didn't care if I called him the Taskmaster. He said, do whatever you want, you know, for the intro. Mm-hmm. So that's cool. It was very cool. And then he ran into the ring, and I was like, Kevin Sullivan. He runs in, and he starts attacking me. He starts chasing the ref, and then he sees me, and he chased me. That was funny. But here's two other guys that we could clearly take right now. Mm-hmm. Bobby Eaton and Dennis Condrey, the original Midnight Express. You and I could easily beat their ass in a street fight.
Yeah.
I guarantee you that much.
Yeah.
Those guys, Dennis Condrey might be like 60 years old. I mean, he's just totally like shit.
Are they like the same height as those guys on Amazing Race? The
the little Mike and Mark guys?
Those guys keep screwing up.
Yeah, if you've watched Amazing Race, you know, it's Corey and I and our favorite show, kind of, or at least it's the show collectively that we both like.
We used to watch it together like Big Mo's, but now my girlfriend wants to.
Now you
watch it
with your girlfriend like a Big Mo. But here's the point. By the way, Dan Smith
that's
got.
That's faggot stuff. You want to call it by its name? That's strictly for fags.
Yeah, Dan Smith got it. I was sitting at dinner with him when you called for an Amazing Race update, and that sounded completely faggoty. But anyway, at Sunday night after that show. But, you know, we're watching Amazing Race, and I have to say, this is a pretty good... I'll tell you what's good about this season. I'll tell you what's good and what's bad. What's bad is that the teams kind of suck. The teams are not that interesting.
The one team I actually legitimately liked is out.
Yeah. And this other team, and there's not even, like, the quarreling couple or anything this year. There's really not even that.
Not really.
But what they did do a lot better is the challenges are better, and they work a lot of local flavor into the show now.
Yeah.
Remember, because I bitched, I think it was last season, where I said they went to Brazil and it was like generic Amazing Race country, and I bitched about it. This time, there's always like, they do a challenge and there's a bunch of drunken Germans hanging around watching them, laughing at them.
Yeah.
And they went and they had to like stack the firewood and there was all those guys.
Right.
And they add a lot more local color to it and it's funny.
They've done that in the past with some stuff, and then sometimes, you're right, it'll be an airport and then they got to ride a motorcycle.
Yeah, there's less airports. There's less airports in this one. And, It's definitely a better season in that respect. It's more of a travel log.
Because only one time this season did a team screw up the airport.
Yeah.
Generally, the airport intrigue doesn't really amount to much.
Right.
They all fight amongst who's going to get booked on a plane.
It's a much better produced, or actually technically I should say pre-produced show. They did a lot better research as far as what the contestants would do, and it makes for a better show that way. Mm-hmm. So I'm liking Amazing Race in that. But the two little guys you're talking about, Mike and Mark, they're like stunt people for children.
Yes.
And I guess they both said, what, they're 4'8 or something each or something like that?
Yeah.
Four. But like, do you think like they're – okay, it's one of two things. Either like it's hereditary, like their parents were midgets or something. Or do you think they had like weird like lead in the water or something? Or they lived under power lines? Like, how do you end up like that?
I was just watching
like two kids, and they're both like they're brothers, and they're not twins or anything, but they're both like little midget guys.
I was watching a show last night where this guy was like supposedly the most flexible man in the world.
Okay,
he was like a master contortionist.
All right,
the guy could literally like bend his spine in half. He could get into like one of the Lucite boxes.
Okay,
so he was like, well, I was born with this. I didn't. He's like, I found out I was like 8 or 9,
yeah,
and I fell down and into the complete splits.
Yeah.
And his sister thought he was hurt and went and ran and got his dad, and he was like, I'm fine.
Okay.
So he went out to find other freaks. He was like, he went and talked to he talked to Stan Lee.
Yeah.
And he was like, I'm going to form my own X-Men, Stan,
yeah,
of freaks. And he found like this old man in like Indonesia who could hang metal objects off his body.
Yeah.
And they found out he wasn't magnetic, but his skin would like stick to stuff like Spider-Man. So there are freaks that are, but people just sometimes are born with weird stuff.
No, but there's two of them though. That's the thing.
Well, you know, sometimes you'll have two lesbian daughters.
All right.
And then a father will want to kill himself. And, you know,
wow. You sound like someone, you know,
I don't.
All right. Listen, we got to wrap up the show, man. We're getting to the end. Of this,
those guys keep cheating.
Oh yeah. They're getting busted for cheating.
They
too,
got busted. Okay. One time they fucked with the like equipment for somebody, for like the other racers. They got busted for that. They went and like screwed up and hid the stuff.
Yeah.
And then what did they do this time to get fucked up? Oh,
they
I
do
did
stuff
not
with
realize
the taxi
this was
cab.
Not. Now we're getting really into
they
something.
They traded
no one cares
their
about.
Watches for money.
You're not supposed
money.
To do that.
I think they've done it before, but maybe they just
they
made it
changed
illegal.
That
yeah.
rule. I that was not right. Anyway.
Well, we gotta go.
Amazing Race bylaws on the next Corey and Joel.
Well, that's
show.
A good show though. Watch Amazing Race if you haven't. A couple quick plugs here. You know, first of all, Observe and Report movie review. We didn't get a chance to plug that last time, but that is up on YouTube.
Please come and comment and talk to us on our forums.
Yeah,
because if you just go on YouTube and tell us we're fat fucks, good for you.
Somebody did do that.
There's look,
so I don't know why this guy hated our review so much of Observe and Report, but go watch
Seth
it.
Seth Rogen's Nut Sniff Army is out there, and if I like Seth,
but he
Rogen.
Didn't even like. We liked the movie, and the guy still hated us. I don't get that. I mean, I get in the past where we hated the movie, and other people liked it, and they gave us negative.
Somebody thought that I was alleging that this was a ripoff of Paul Blart Mall Cop.
Yeah,
it came out after Paul Blart.
We also,
but under no circumstances did this. I think Paul Blart was probably written after this.
Well, if you watch, okay, Paul Blart did shoot first. I looked it up.
Yeah.
But if you watch the review that's on YouTube, it's on the front page of CoreyandJoelRadio.com. I did put visual evidence of the similarities between the movies.
Yes.
So that's why I went through that. And that's why we said that to the idiot who...
But I have to imagine this script predated Paul Blart.
It should. Let's plug our comedy before we
all
go.
Right.
This weekend, All-Star Comedy Club in Allen Park, the 17th and 18th of April, 9 p.m. each night, Friday and Saturday, 2400 Allen Road, Allen Park. Call 313-583-3137. So we'll see you there.
Maybe you go bowl a couple frames and
something
then come
like
watch
that.
Some comedy.
Yeah, it's in the Thunder Bowl lane.
It's a really nice club inside a big giant bowling alley.
All right, we got to go, everybody. Thanks for listening. And we'll catch you next time.
If you're in Iraq and you want to see some comedy, go check out Russ Brown.
Isn't he at the Mud Pit? Is
yeah,
that
he'll be at the Mud Pit, and then he'll be at the Giggle Hut in Quetta.
And Jody and Jamie will be... in the back of some comic's van in L.A.
They're going to be in Bud Friedman's hotel suite.
Giving
at the
hand jobs.
Beverly and, Wilshire. So there you go. Check that out.
All right. Later, folks. Marcello. Marcello. Ciao, Marcello.
Yeah.
That's all I know Italian. I
want to
ciao.
Shout out to all the Itais
ciao.
Up there in
that's
Canada.
All I know.
The Joel Fragmenti fan club.
Hasta la vista. Let me be Spanish. Still